Today on Real Life Radio.
The righteous person today, with all of the stuff, you might say, well, Jack, you read that list and I'm not guilty of any one of those things. You may think so, but you're still not righteous. For you and I to be declared righteous, you've got to come to faith in Jesus, absolute faith in Jesus.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Whether or not you're a car enthusiast, our current featured resource called Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire guides us through a life free from worry and fear. Barry, well known in the automotive world, shows us how to live God's way with effortless faith and by keeping God as our first love.
Whoever encounters Barry encounters Jesus Christ. So please get your own copy today at jackhibbs.com.
Ignite Your Life is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the ministry at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, The Way We Were. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, the issue of a Christian's poor conduct had once been Paul's theme, but now Paul wants to revive the church by calling us to live our lives with new meaning and with new purpose. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that it's time to stop wandering off the path of truth and virtue and to let the love of God do what we can't do for ourselves. That is to change us from the inside out. Now with his message called The Way We Were, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I don't think anybody thinks this anymore, but there was a time in America when people said, of course I'm going to heaven. I'm an American, as though God were a Democrat or a Republican. That's ridiculous. We were not fit for the family of God. The way we were was that we did not fit into the family of God. We fit in this world. And listen, the Bible says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. There is no home for the unrighteous. There's no family. According to the Bible, man is born a rebel. And before you and I can crawl, we're on the move in rejection of God's leading. Who are the unrighteous? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen, I warned you in advance, you're going to want to hate me here. Just stay tuned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word is an archery term. We've all pulled back the arrow. We've all launched that arrow out of our bow and shot towards a target of perfection. And guess what happens? God's target of perfection for every human being on earth is too far away. And our arrow falls short. And we miss the target completely. By the way, that's what the Old English word sin means. Sin is the Old English word to miss the mark. We've all missed the mark. And when we wake up to the reality, I was witnessing to a woman this week, and the big challenge for me, because she's religious, the big challenge for me was to get her to see that she has missed the mark and in fact couldn't even hit the mark by doing religious activity, because the moment we wake up to the realization, church, are you with me? The moment we wake up to the realization that there is a target, and that we have been shooting at it all along without knowing, that when we wake up to the fact, we've already missed, we're out of arrows. And so what happens is, I will pray longer, I'll pray harder, I'll give more money in the offering, I will go and feed the homeless, I will go and help at the church, I will go and all good things, doing all the right things with the wrong motive. Because the temptation is the moment I do those things, we stand up and say, God, what did you think of that? Pretty good, huh? Pretty good? It's deception. It's the way we are. Thank God it's the way we were. As Christians, it changes. Isaiah 45:22 says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Look to me. Romans 3:21 tells us who the righteous are. Do you want to be righteous today? You say, well, Jack, I'm such a humble person. I don't even want to be righteous because that sounds kind of arrogant. Oh, no. Listen, my friend, you want God. Do you want God to look at you and say, I hold nothing against that person? On a count of three, I want to hear your name out loud. Are you ready? One, two, three. He understood every word, every name that was just spoken. And that name that came out of your mouth, that's who you are. Do you not want God to hear that name and say, clear, righteous? Well, he wants that to be your label. In Romans 3:21, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law has been revealed. That means you can't get to heaven by keeping the law. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Whoa, what is it? What is it? Even the righteousness of God. What? Where? Tell me, show me. Through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference between Jew or Gentile, poor man, rich man, bond man free. The righteous person today with all of the stuff. You might say, well, Jack, you read that list and I'm not guilty of any one of those things. You may think so, but you're still not righteous. For you and I to be declared righteous, you've got to come to faith in Jesus, absolute faith in Jesus. Thirdly, under this point, why were we like this before? How did this be so true in our lives before? Because listen, verse 9 teaches us that we were all self-deceived. He says in verse 9, do not be deceived. Stop being deceived. As I said earlier, the word in the Greek means that we are in a state of deception. But now the Bible says it's time to stop that. We can actually not be deceived any longer. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, above all these things, put on love, which is in the bond of perfection or completion. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What in the world is he talking about? This is how you maintain a life of not being deceived by this world. What is that? Fellowship with God. And it's kind of amazing. I had this happen to me this week. Had been in the Bible, had been reading some awesome Christian books for devotion, got out into my car, truck started it up, headed down the road, and I hit scan, you know, the little search or whatever the button is where it goes to the next station, and there was some ridiculously stupid song from like the 70s. Like Aerosmith or some maniac band, and you go, oh my goodness, oh, that's horrible. Aerosmith or Jethro Tull or some Rolling Stones. Oh, don't go there. Wait. I didn't scan on over and hear the Rolling Stones and go, oh, man. Oh, yeah. I used to do that. You don't laugh at me. You used to do that. But I had taken in the Bible that day. The scan thing went over to Mick Jagger screaming his throat out. And my first response was, thank you, God. Thank you, God. That used to be part of my life. And I listened for about another minute and a half. And then I felt pity for the world. Have you ever listened to the words, to the songs of the world? They are so stupid. They got this music. And then, and they say this stuff. It's like, what? It's meaningless. You know why? Poor things. They have this gift of music, God-given gift, but they don't know what they're doing with it. And they threw all these stupid words out because they don't know Jesus. They don't have songs of praise and hymns and spiritual songs. And they hang out with the people they hang out with that feed their circle. And we better be careful as Christians that we don't walk around those people when we see them. We need to walk up to them and give them life, man. Love on them. I didn't say compromise with them. I said love on them. The word deceived means to roam or to wander off from the safe path. We don't have to do that anymore. Point number two in our study today, verses 9 to 10, is this. The way we were, we ask this question. How did we ever change? This is the part that gets me excited. How did we ever change? The remaining verses get me really pumped up. Rather than offending me, they excite me. How did we ever change? Question to you, are you a different person today than you were a year ago or 10 years ago? As a Christian, are you different? If you say you're a Christian and you're not different, then the fruit of your own life or the lack thereof dictates that you're not a Christian. You say, well, Pastor, I don't care what you say. It's what I say that matters. You can say anything you want to say. Has there been a change in your life? A marked change. How did we ever change? Today at this hour, the greatest message in the world is still the same old message. Jesus Christ changes lives. A friend of mine was talking this week about a friend of hers who is nearly 80 years old. Has everything. Has everything, but why is she drinking so heavily? Has everything. Why is she still searching? Owns everything. Why is she still shopping? Has everything and is now taking drugs. Has everything and is now seeing an analyst. Why? Because down deep inside, she's never been changed. There's never been a change. But listen, we've been changed. We're Christians. Now, I'm making a blanket statement in this audience today, assuming all of us are Christians today. Don't you dare think for a moment, well, Pastor Jack said I'm a Christian. If you listen close to his message, he said I'm a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. I'm assuming for a moment that we're all Christians in this room because the title of the message is The Way We Were. If you have never had the way we were experience, you need Christ today. You need a changed life. How does that happen? Well, look at verse 9. We were invited by the Father. This gets powerful here. We were invited by the Father, says the Bible. Listen to this. Neither, the words no, not, niet, nada, ain't no way. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, or sodomites are going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You said, Jack, do you realize what you just said, how incredibly politically incorrect it is? Listen, this was around before there was any politics. God doesn't care about what governments say regarding moral or spiritual issues, because God cares about one thing, and that is your soul getting loved on by the Holy Spirit and you getting ready for heaven. God cares about heaven.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
God cares about heaven. He doesn't care what the latest media spin is. Understand this. Your Father in heaven invited you and I into his family. And listen, you may have never fornicated, but did you ever think about it? Or some of these things. I have to tell you something. I have 31 commentaries on the book of 1 Corinthians. That's a stack about this high, maybe higher. Very few of the good old Bible scholars would even address these sins listed here. One guy said, they're obvious, I cannot speak of them. We live in a different time. And if you listen carefully, it should bring hope to you. It's true. If you live a habitual life, if this is the way you live, if this is the heartbeat of your life, to fornicate, to be an idolater, by the way, we'll explain that in a moment, an adulterer, homosexuality, sodomy. If you stay like that, the Bible says you're going to be lost. If there's any bizarre-minded person in here today, I can't believe he condemned everybody to hell. You're not listening, are you? Your emotions are getting in the way. God is saying, don't go down that road. The bridge is washed out. And you're going to blame him? No, I'll blame you for keep driving. You hear that the bridge is washed out, and what do? You put your foot on the pedal and speed up. And God says, turn. So listen, I have to be, as I tell you, for those of you who have the stomach, you can look at this on your own in depth. I am going to scratch the surface of meaning regarding these words in the original Greek language, which the New Testament was written in. Fornicators, pornos is the word. It means someone who to sell or to give away themselves sexually. You can sell or give away yourself sexually. By the way, it doesn't tell you how or what the platform is. Do you think today there's a gray area of a loophole? Well, I've never been with a man. I just post my photographs online. Do you think God goes, oh, yes, I forgot, excuse me, the internet, off limits. Somehow it made it through the judgment thing there and you're good to go. No, anyone who sells or gives away themselves in the sexual setting will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is your emotion starting to rise? If not, hang on. It will. The word also means a promiscuous male or one who prostitutes oneself, either male or female, which we hear the word a whoremonger, male or female. Wow. Idolater. This is fascinating. Idolater. Well, you say, well, it's a person who loves idols. Specifically, this word is pretty bizarre. I can't even pronounce it. It's so huge. It means this. To become or to lend yourself over to being a sexual servant or to worship sex. The context is all sexual. Number three, adulterers. The word is paramour. Paramour. One who enters into a marriage that is not their own. The word picture is to be a wedge going in between two people's lives that have already been united. Listen, the word means to set a division between two people by either illicit means or sexual means. Adultery. Homosexuals. The word means to play the same role, thus homosexual. Homo in Greek is same. Homosexual is obviously sexual is a physical action. To play the same role, to act out the gender of another, it means, and I can't even handle this word, but the Greek word means a catamite. And for those of you who have a strong stomach, you can look up what that means. It's horrible. Sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The one who yields himself, herself willingly over to what is called self-abuse or human abuse. It's not like someone slaps you and abuses you. It's that you give yourself over to this particular type of conduct that actually ruins your body. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. You say, Jack, that's horrible. That's horrible. That's the whole point. Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. It's the whole point Paul is painting. You might be sitting here today and saying, Pastor, if I wasn't so disgusted, I'd get up and run out of this building right now. No, this is exactly for you. This is exactly for you because there's great hope. You might say, I've never done any of those things, but I've thought every one of those things. Then listen, you're just as guilty according to God. There's hope for you. Hear me out. Don't run. Don't leave. Romans 1:24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. Can you imagine God is going to cut someone loose someday and let them go that route? To dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who? Exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. It's almost like it's defined in the internet today, pornography and all that stuff. Who is blessed forever, amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use, that implies a man. Women gave up on using men for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in the lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves, the word means internally, inside their own guts, inside their own DNA life, the penalty of the error that is due to them. God has invited us into his family. Our Father has invited us out of this world that we were once held by. You see, Jack, I understand that. But the Bible also warns us that people who look and take pleasure in things that others do are guilty as well. If you've ever heard the term guilty by association, it is wrong for us to say, well, I just watched this. I'm just watching. The Bible says that you want that. And the Bible teaches that you are vicariously living out a godless passion through that thing. And these are the unspeakable. Listen, these are the unspeakable things that the church doesn't speak about. And people leave the walls of a church, especially young people today, and they are engrossed in this world. And they're lost in this world. Precious children now no longer able to look at a man or a woman or a neighbor or a girl who is a friend or a boy who is a friend in the same light ever again, ever, because someone texts them a photo. Did you know in your kid's life, there's a hunt out there for your child's cell phone number? And the person sending them pictures, they don't even know who your kid is. They'll get the kid's number on campus. Hey, what numbers do you have? You got this number? And they'll send photographs. Nobody knows. It's taken with their phone, sent to that your child's phone. And your child says, who's this from? Opens it up, boom. Mind, eyes. Look, I'm just speaking for a man. I've never been a woman. Don't plan on ever being one. But guys, hear me out. You know what I'm talking about. The moment as a young man, there's that snapshot that you see a woman for the first time, your life changes, and it ain't good. Boy, do I sound like a dinosaur. That's okay. I can tell you right now, you may not agree with me, but those kids next door, when I'm with them and we're having a Bible study together or we're having a special night with the youth, every one of them knows exactly what I'm talking about. Their hearts are more tender, and they'll confront the issue. Paul is trying to get the church at Corinth back online.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Way We Were. We're glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, everybody. You know what? The wonderful producers here on this program had this great idea. How about you and I adopting a topic and praying about that topic each month? So, for example, starting this month, I want to invite you to pray with me that God's truth would prevail. How's that? That God's truth would prevail in elections, in our health challenges, that God's truth would prevail in our marriage with our children, our grandchildren. Let's pray this month for God's truth to be not compromised, but exalted, not dissed or pushed away, but obeyed. Let's pray for God's truth all this month together. So let's do that.
Let's pray for God's truth to prevail. Father, we come before you today, this week, this month, regarding truth. And we pray, Father, that in our own lives, that we would live in truth. Your Bible tells us, your Son told us, that the truth shall set us free. And so, Father, I pray that we would make the decision right now, no matter where we're at or what we're doing, that we would pursue truth and that we would speak truth in love, but above all things, that we would be people of truth, because you are the God of all truth. The way, the truth, and the life is our Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.